Good evening, everybody. Glad to have you here online with us on online Bible study here Thursday night. Again, we're going to see if we can deal with our message that we were doing Sunday, going a little bit deeper in that. But right now, what I want to do first, we did get a prayer request today from Sister Sean. I have it. She had said that her sister had been diagnosed with a type of cancer that they're trying to work on. So let's pray about that, and then we'll see if we can get into the message tonight. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity again to come into your house. We thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the anointing of your spirit. We thank you for Sister Sean, and we thank you for her faithfulness in this local assembly. We pray for her sister even now in Jesus' name. Father, we know that because you've come that they might have life, all of us, and that we might have it more abundantly. We pray now and come against everything that would try and attack her body. Father, we pray and ask in Jesus' name that her faith would rise to recognize even what the scripture says, that you have come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We know that it's Satan who comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would bind, heal all her from the head, crown of her head to the soles of her feet. We ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to see if we can get started. Remember, our message on Sunday was entitled, The Truth Will Make You Free. The Truth Will Make You Free. And our message was a little bit different than what people normally associate with these particular scriptures when they see this. And I'm going to try to break it down a little bit to get you to understand kind of where I was going Sunday. If you weren't with us, it still should be sufficient, you know, for you to catch up. We were talking about affirmations, and we said for our thesis we put out there, you know, kind of where we want to be when this is over. We said that false affirmations with or affirmations without discipline only lead to delusion. Confirming truth is not the same as knowing it. So once again, false affirmations or affirmations without discipline only lead to delusion. Confirming truth is not the same as knowing it. All right, so then we spent a little time to kind of talk about what does this mean. So first what we did was we looked at the scriptures in the book of John where Jesus makes the statement to the Jews. And so let's look at the scriptures, and then we'll go back a little bit more into our thesis statement. All right, so the book of John, beginning in verse 30, chapter 8. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. All right, now, one of the things that we did was we took the word know and put up its definition from the Greek word so that we could see what Jesus was talking about, where he said that if you would continue in his word, you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. And we said that word know was from a prolonged form of a primary verb, meaning to know absolutely. And so we said that really, actually, what this word means is that it's a sense of not just the same as confirming. That's why we said in a thesis statement that confirming truth is not the same as knowing it. So in other words, there's a distinction between having absolute or actual knowledge of a thing and then being able to confirm that a thing is true. And I use as an example, I think Brother Chapman was here, and I said that, you know, people could look over and acknowledge that, you know, that was him. He may be able even to pull out his driver's license, and somebody could look at his driver's license and say, okay, that is him. But all that is still confirmation. That's not the same as knowledge, because if I were to say, do you actually know Brother Chapman, you would know him on different levels. People would know him on different levels. Some people just know him here at church. Other people may know him a little bit more personally. And then, of course, there's his wife who probably knows him a lot more than the rest of us do. And then he has his own parents who probably may know him even more so than his wife who gets to know him over the years as they go, and then maybe at that point she'll know him more than they know him. But of course, he would have spent all that time with them. So there are these different levels of knowledge and knowing. And so Jesus says that in order for us to be made free, we actually have to know, absolutely know, the truth. So that doesn't mean that what? Then we can just take the Bible and walk around with it and say things, no matter what it is that people tell us to say. That confirming of the truth does not set us free. We said it was actually knowing. So then we said, let's take an example of what we're talking about. And one of the examples, what we said, that's why we use affirmations. I said that false affirmations, remember again, the thesis, put that back up there for a second. Remember what we said, false affirmations are affirmations without discipline. Okay, so let's look at that. False affirmations are affirmations without discipline. So you're looking at two different things, false affirmations, affirmations without discipline. And either one lead to what we said was delusion. Okay, so now let's talk about what I attempted to do. You know, I didn't go over as well as I wanted to, so I'm going to try to frame it a little bit different. What I'm going to do is I had several statements. First, what I did was I defined what an affirmation was, which I'll do in a minute. And then what I said, I'm going to ask you to think about these statements and answer to yourself whether they're true or false. And then what I was trying to do was to get you to think of it in terms of, if it's true, why are you saying it's true? Where did you get that from that it's true? Because only truth will make you free. So although you can affirm certain things and make certain affirmations, if it does not come from truth, it can never make you free. And even if it is an affirmation that comes from truth, if you add no discipline to it, it cannot make you free. So therefore, then, people are consistently, this is what's about to happen now, the new year is about to start, and people are going to be making New Year's resolutions and things like that. But because these resolutions have no discipline many times behind them, you'll get to the end of the year, and instead of people losing the weight they said, they've gained weight. And people, instead of them saving money, they've spent the money. Instead of whatever. And they're going to all have an excuse and a reason for why it didn't happen. But the reality is, it's a lack of discipline. And it's, now, sometimes things happen, and we understand that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about just lacking discipline, okay? So you can't say at the beginning of the year, by the end of this year, I'm going to lose 5 pounds. Then you get to the end of the year, you gain 5 pounds. And then somehow it had nothing to do with your lack of discipline of what it was you were eating, what you were doing, and what made that happen. As simple as that, nothing else, because that becomes a false affirmation or an affirmation without discipline more than likely anything else. So then I said, I'm going to take these statements, and first what we'll do is define what an affirmation is so we know what we're talking about, and we'll go from there. So we said that an affirmation is the act, and if you look at that, of confirming something to be true, or a written or oral statement that confirms that something is true. All right, so then what many people will tell people is, look, if you want to get yourself out of debt and all these kind of things, they'll say, look, what I need you to do is every day, write this down and say it to yourself every day before you go to bed when you get up. I am debt-free and living a powerful life. I am debt-free and living a powerful life. So you get up and you say that every day, and you say it before you go to bed. Matter of fact, you say it a couple times throughout the day. I'm debt-free and I'm living a powerful life. And I'm debt-free and I'm living a powerful life. And so because somebody told you, you know, that words, you know, are containers and they can create things, you figure that by saying I'm out of debt and I'm living a powerful life, it's creating debt-free and a powerful life in your life. And the question becomes, where is that, and is that an affirmation that is false, or is that a true statement that can be an affirmation but must have discipline attached to it in order that you can get to that place? All right, so then I said, okay, we're going to do some true-false, and I'm going to give you some statements. I said, now, let's say, for instance, you tell your child this, and I use the affirmation, I am smart. I am smart. So I have true or false. Now, in the world, most of us are going to say, well, you know, you can't tell a kid they're not smart. Well, let me say this. there are tests that measure a person's intelligence. They call them IQ tests, intelligent quotient tests, that actually will take various types of subjects and things that you do, and you work the puzzles, you work the subjects, and when it's over, it will give you an IQ. And that IQ has been pretty much affirmed over at least 50, 60 years that I know of, if not more, to be fairly accurate determination of a person's intelligence as it relates to, you know, how they deal with certain types of things and stuff like that. And almost all of your scientists and doctors and others in these higher thinking type professions, if you will, their IQs are higher, and they tend to go down as people are in less demanding type situations. And therefore, there's a way to determine this. So we said that, you know, everybody doesn't send their kid to school and get an IQ test, so that's not going to be normally how we're going to be able to do it. But at the same time, we can look at a person's performance over time. If we're comfortable that they're trying their best, they're doing their best, they're doing everything they know how to do, they're studying properly the way people tell them to study, but they're just having difficulty in a particular subject area, then, you know, we can't keep telling them, oh, you can do that, and you're smart enough to do that. You just got to put your mind to it. All you're going to do is frustrate that person because you're making a false affirmation. Now, that affirmation is not tied to the word anywhere, even though what some people try to do is they'll take the scriptures out of Philippians that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they say, okay, so this is why now you can take this kid and tell him, you can do this. You can do this. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But when you read that scripture in context, I didn't have them take it, but I'm going to go ahead and get it now. Many people have just taken the scripture completely out of context. And so the problem with taking it out of context is then you start trying to apply it to other things that it just doesn't work. Okay. This is what the Bible says. Okay. Paul says this. He's talking in Philippians chapter 4. He says, and he's talking to him about different things going on in his life. And then he gets to verse 11 and he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now remember then, this is the subject. So Paul's subject right now is that he's not concerned about any particular situation he's in. He's learned how to be content. Then he goes on and says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay, so then now we see then that Paul is not talking about math. Paul is not talking about starting a business. Paul is not talking about any of those things. Paul is talking specifically about learning how, whatever situation he is, to be content, whether he's full, whether he's hungry, whether he has something or he doesn't. Paul said, I have learned that I have to be content. Then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So in other words, when I lack, I can deal with it because Christ will give me the strength to deal with my lack. When I'm abundant and full, I can do that because Christ will give me the ability not to overindulge myself in my fullness. So Paul is not saying this scripture means you can go do anything you can because Christ will strengthen you. That's not what he's saying. So now when I'm sitting there trying to tell my kid, okay, he's struggling with math. We've done everything we know how to do. We've given him every tutor that there is on the planet, and he still can't get past a C. But I'm going to tell him, look, Jesus can help you do anything. Go up there and put this on your board or say this every day. I am good in math. I am smart in math. I am smart in math because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is a false affirmation. That's what I mean by false affirmation. All you're doing is setting that kid up for delusion, because the reality is, unless there is something going on that we don't know about, they are not just going to automatically make the leap from algebra to calculus and all these higher level maths if they don't have the propensity or the ability to understand that stuff. It's just simple as that. Now, a lot of people just don't want to believe that. But all you got to do is go out in the world and see it. I mean, once the people give you the actual entrance exams to some of these things like medical schools and all that, a lot of people don't score very high on those tests. And there's a reason for that. Now, some people will say, well, the reason is because you didn't make it easy enough. You know, what color is this pen? It is white. Well, you know what? That's a simple answer. And I don't want a doctor that's the only thing they can figure out, right? So the idea is that there's some particular areas we've got to understand. Now, let's push further into this. I put some other things up. One of them I said, I believe in who I am. Okay, that you hear people saying that. They walk around, I believe in who I am. I believe in who I am. I believe in who I am. Okay, now what that does, look at that statement. Put it back up there for him. Look at that statement. I believe in who I am. Now what that requires you to do first is to determine who you are. And once you know who you are, then you can figure out whether or not you can believe in who you are. Okay, so first then, if you don't want this to be a false affirmation, you have to go to the Bible and find out what does the Bible say about who you are, and then ask yourself the question, is that what you're believing? I believe in who I am. Are you believing what the Bible says about who you are? Because if that's not the case, once again, you could have a false affirmation. Now, another one that I had was, I am consistent in the things that I say and do. I am consistent in the things that I say and do. Now, I think this is actually an affirmation that one can find that the Bible tells you ought to be. You ought to be consistent in the things that you say and do. So this is not a false affirmation. I think this can be a true affirmation. The problem is you've got to attach some discipline to it. I mean, you can't just say this stuff and think it's gonna happen, okay? I am consistent in the things that I say and do. What does that mean? It means that each thing you say and each thing you do, you're consistent over time. Well, the only way you can do that is to be disciplined. All right, so in other words, when you wanna stray away from something, you're gonna have to come back and apply the discipline to your life. Now I'm gonna give you something a little bit, I didn't use this one, but I'm going to give you another one that I think will really, really hammer this home and kind of help you to understand. Let's say, for instance, that you want to get out of debt. Let's say, for instance, you've been in debt for quite some time and you really would like to be debt free. So let's say for the beginning of 2022, you've made up a resolution for yourself, a decision. I'm going to start knocking off my debt so that by the end of the year, set a goal, set an amount. You know, by the end of the year, I will have $1,000 of my debt gone over what I owe. That may be a little bit, maybe not a much, maybe not enough, whatever. We're just using a number right now. So let's think about it. I am going to owe $1,000 less by the end of this year. Now, you can get up and write that on a sign. By the end of 2022, I will owe $1,000 less than I did on January 1st. You can say that. You get up, you say it in the morning. You get up, you say it in the evening. You get up, you say it in the morning. You get up, you say it in the evening. The only way you're going to make, and there's nothing wrong with that affirmation because the Bible talks about us the not being in debt because it says that what? The borrower is the servant of the lender. So to the extent that you don't want to be a servant, it makes sense to want to get out of debt. So there's nothing wrong with that affirmation. But let's say, for instance, you make $5,000 a month. Well, let's don't do that because some people say people don't make that much, some of them. Okay, let's say we make $3,000 a month. Well, is $3,000 enough to get you out of the debt you're in by the end of the year? Well, it just depends. If you spend $3,500 a month, it surely ain't because you're going to be in debt by what? Another $6,000 by the end of the year. If you spend $3,500 a month and all you get is $3,000, then that means by the end of the year, you will owe $6,000 more. So you're already starting off with a lie coming out of your mouth. You might as well stop now. You can't do it. $3,000 you make, you're spending $3,500. No way you can be down $1,000 by the end of the year. You have to say that. Now you can say, yeah, Pastor, but a miracle might happen. Okay, But let's put this, the land of miracles aside for a moment, because we're talking about what the affirmations bring about. And the affirmations do not bring about the miracles. That's not how that works. Okay, the affirmations are being said so that you can understand, strengthen, and point yourself in the direction that you have to go, and adding discipline to what you're saying so that when it's over, you get there. So you get up and you say, I will be debt-free by $1,000 by the end of the year. That's what you're saying. Well, that means then that if you're already spending too much, you need to sit down January 1st. Listen to me now. Don't make it the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. I know the 1st is a holiday, but look, sit down on the 1st. January 1st and write out every bill you have, every one of them. Try to remember everything. Remember all the little side bills, the phone, the this, the that, all the stuff you forget about. Write every bill that comes to your house. Then write all the sources of income you have. Write them down. And then start off right then and look at it. If you make more than your bills, you have a chance. If you don't make more than your bills, then somewhere between January 1st and January 2nd, you need to start figuring out how you're going to get down to where you don't owe more than you have coming in a month. Otherwise, stop saying that. See, that's how you're going to frustrate yourself. Stop saying that. If you can't bring them together because you're saying, well, these are bills I can't do anything about. I have to pay them. Well, then, okay, then change your affirmation. Stop saying that, because that's not going to make God, ooh, all of a sudden he going to do something. So at the end of the year, you got a testimony to tell somebody. That's not how this works. We got to get out of all this false talking and false affirmations. This is why we're starting the year off and we're getting to the end and nothing's changed, right? You know, I told you all last year, I said, okay, at the beginning of the year, I weighed so much. I said, by the time I get to the end of the year, I said, every year, you know, I want to drop a pound. Maybe in 10 years, I'll have dropped 10 pounds. Well, actually now, because I started some other stuff, I'm probably now about 13 pounds down from where I was at the beginning of the year. Still ain't where I need to be, but that's where I am. But it's not because I just walk around saying that. I'm going to weigh less by the end of the year. I'm going to weigh less by the end of the year. I'm going to weigh less by the end of the year. No, it's affirmation plus discipline. The idea that there's some things that I just can't eat that. Can't eat that. Can't eat that. Can't eat that. Holy Spirit, please help me to pass that by. Okay? I mean, prime example, you know, we have candy that, you know, sometimes Sister Laurel put some candy in the living room. Little Snickers bars and this and that and Reese's cups and all that stuff and little thing. And man, I mean, I'll go through that in a couple of days when she fill a little bowl up. But once I made a decision that I wasn't going to be doing that for some time, she put some stuff in there. I ain't touched it. Haven't touched it. Don't touch it. Pray, ask the Holy Spirit. I won't touch that. And I don't. Discipline plus affirmation equals results. Other than that, stop deceiving yourself. All right, stop setting yourself... It's crazy. Stop setting yourself up with delusion. You have to say, I'm going to get to where I'm going by first being able to speak it out of my mouth by faith, because I can line it up with the Word of God. That's what we're going to start off on Sunday as we get into this new year now. So we're going to line it up with the Word of God. We know what God says, so we're going to affirm what he says, and then we're going to add the discipline to what he says so that when we get to the next stage or the end of the year or wherever we're going, we've accomplished what we've been saying out of our mouths. And so it's important to understand this, because other than that, we find ourselves in a place of constant delusion, no matter what it is, whether it's relationships or whatever. If I keep saying, oh, I'm going to have a better relationship with my wife, I'm going to have a better relationship with my friends, oh, I'm going to this, I'm going to that, but I don't add the discipline to it to make it happen, it's never going to happen. Let me say something to you. You hear a lot about reaping and sowing, and Jesus talked a lot about it in the Bible. And the law of sowing and reaping, if you want to call it that, because God did say in the book of Genesis that until the earth goes away, seed time and harvest time are not going away. So in other words, you plant and you harvest. You plant and you harvest. And although I think that this has been abused a little bit by people, I think this has been abused a lot by people, it's still the truth. We can't deny the truth. Remember what we said about truth. We can't deny it. So we have to, if you want to know and you ask yourself the question, if I wanted to know, let's say I got to the end of this year, and instead of me saying what I'm saying about what I, you know, weigh, when I went to the doctor, they told me about my cholesterol. And 7 years ago was the last time I actually went to the doctor and had them check it. They had told me to check it every 5 years. Well, it had gone up more than I would have anticipated it had gone up. But when they told me about it, I said to myself, okay, let me look. The law of sowing and reaping. Now, the way you want to know what you've been sowing, because sometimes people have trouble understanding it. All you got to do is ask yourself, what are you reaping? That's a good way to look at it. Look at it from the flip side. What am I reaping? What is coming my way? This is a law now, y'all, and we got to understand this now. We look at it and we ask ourselves, what is coming to us? Now, many times we keep walking around, everybody saying, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that, and the world is a terrible place. But Jesus said in one place, and the Bible says it, whatsoever we sow, we reap. So we have to look then at what we're reaping, and if we don't like what we're reaping, that will give us some indication as to what we're sowing. All right, so when I looked at this cholesterol number, I could say, whoa, that number's higher than it ought to be. Okay, so I've reaped something. I mean, I didn't just wake up and it was there. I've reaped something. So the question is, what have I been sowing that would cause me to reap this? Well, all I had to do was go back and look. Well, it was easy enough to see the hot dogs that I was eating every day. I got good at eating them hot dogs. I liked them. After Bible study every now and then, Sister Lori's like, hey, you want something to eat? It's 8:30. Yeah, sure. Give me a cheeseburger. And I always end up with two cheeseburgers and some fries. And I eat them. So but you put that together with the hot dogs and all the other stuff, and you do that a while, and sure enough, it makes sense that you're like, yeah, a little blue stove chicken in there and all that. And every now and then people keep saying, well, I ain't doing that much. I ain't doing that much. Well, obviously I'm doing it because it's gone up. You reap what you sow. Ain't nobody wake me up and pour cholesterol down my veins. Don't lie to yourself. So now you have to do what? But I'm not going to be any more shocked at the end of the year when I go to the doctor next time. Why? Because I am sowing something different now. I've changed the seed now. I ain't had a hot dog in weeks. I've changed the seed I'm sowing. Why? Because I'm going to sow that seed with the anticipation of reaping, just like Jesus said, whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. And this is what we've got to start understanding. Now, why do I say that? Because just like with church at times, and I say, you know, you cannot expect to reap a deeper knowledge and understanding of Jesus not attending church, not coming to Bible study, not doing these things. And affirming it and carrying the Bible around with you will not make it happen. It's just not going to happen. I said, and you have to understand that the problem with that is then when the storms come, because they're coming. The Bible says that, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. So when the rain shows up, what are you going to do about it? See, where most of the churches have failed, at least in my mind about teaching this, is that they've continued to teach people, you got to stay positive. You got to stay positive. You got to keep believing God. You got to this. When you haven't been faithful, you haven't been sowing, and you haven't done it. And it ain't just about no money. Forget that. I'm talking about sowing in the direction of the truth of the Word of God. What did God say about a thing? And if you're not doing that, then you are waiting for some disaster. In one place, the Bible says, if you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. See, this is one of the truths about sowing and reaping. You don't get back what you sowed. You always get back more. So if you sow bad, you get more bad. It comes back worse at you than what you sowed. If you are sowing good things, they come back good. Just look at the farm. Go out and look. A farmer plants seeds, and they say from a cup of corn, he could get a couple bushels of corn. Okay, what you sow, you reap back a harvest. So if this is the way it works in the world, we can't believe as humans that it's not going to work the same way with us. Now, the difference between us as humans, and I think this is interesting, is, you know, God gives us the ability to think about things. Okay, I mean, we get to really think and choose. So if you've been sowing a certain way for the last 5 years and you're not getting what you want, you have the ability to change your mind. You could just say, you know what? I done had enough of this. This ain't working. Whatever it is, whatever you're doing, this is not working. All you got to do is look at it and look at the results. It's not the results you want. You say, look, this is not working. What have I been sowing? Then change your seed and start sowing something different. But if you don't do this and you keep talking to the mirror and talking to yourself and saying affirmations, you're never going to get out of the trouble that you are sowing yourself into. Some people are sowing themselves in the trouble day after day after day by failing to go deeper into the Word of God, by failing to pray, by failing to study the Word of God. You are building a life on stilts. And when the water comes or the chainsaw, it's going to cut your stilts right from under your legs. And once you go down, it's depending on how high those stilts are, it can be very, very difficult to get back up on your feet. And even if you do, it's going to take time. That's the question. What are you sowing? You know, you got to think about that. What are you sowing? You know, look at your life. I mean, people keep talking about, oh, Pastor, I got this problem. And I'm like, okay, what's your problem? And look, I don't have a problem with trying to help people, but most of the time, it's a sowing problem, you know? It's a sowing problem, you know? People got to realize that they're there because of what they're sowing. That, you know, the Word of God is clear. Jesus said, I'm not exactly sure where, and it doesn't matter. I don't have to go to it right now. I'm just going to talk about it off the top of my head. When Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, I think about a little while ago, we talked about not being a wayside hearer. And we said we were going to not be wayside hearers. That was part of our confession. Now, I want you to think about something with the parable of the sower. And the Lord had to help me understand this the more, this Holy Spirit, the more I studied it recently, because it gave me a lot more insight than I thought. He says, look at it again. If you look at the parable of the sower, you see something. It says the sower went out to sow. Okay, so he's out sowing his seed, right? But there are things that happen to the seed along the way that the sower, though, never really gets into. This is what's interesting. Jesus never says the sower stops to deal with any of it, okay? So what ends up happening is that the sower is sowing the seed, and Jesus eventually explains to him that the seed is the Word of God, right? That's what the seed is. Okay, so let's put those scriptures up there. I see y'all got them. Matthew 13, 1. So we're going to look at this. Now, think about this as your life. Think about this as your life, okay? Now, he says that he was sowing the seed. Go to the next verse. Where was it? I was looking at it. Okay. And he spake and said unto him, behold, a sower went forth to sow. All right, so think of yourself as the sower. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Okay, now, stop right there. Matthew 13, 4. Let me get my Bible. You can put me on the screen. Matthew 13, 4. And I want to break this scripture down and I want you to think about this. All right. So let's say, for instance, he's sowing. We see in 13, 4 that he sows, and some of the seeds go by the wayside, and the fowls eat them up. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. For me, it's like the people in the church. I'm going to use this for my example. It's like the people that are a part of the church, let's say. And I've been spending too much of my time concentrating on what's happening to the seeds and stuff like that instead of what's happening with the seed when it hits, instead of just going on and continue, just so, just so, just so, just so, just so. Because I know that the seed that I have, it's excellent seed. Why? Because the Bible says the word is what he was sowing, okay? Now, watch this now. The word is what he's sowing, right? But as he sows it, there is a point where there is some of this seed that falls by what he calls the wayside. Doesn't have anything to do with the sower. He's sowing. He's sowing. Nothing wrong with his seed. His seed is excellent. Why? Because it's the word of God. No more perfect seed than that. So he's sowing. He's sowing. He's at it, man. He's sowing. He's doing his job. He's a sower. But nonetheless, the fowls come and devour up the seed. Well, what can I do about it? See, when I look at it, I say, man, my seed, it's not reaping. I'm not reaping harvest. It's going to be like, okay, well, what happened? Well, the birds ate it. Well, guess what? That's what birds do. I can't spend my time chasing birds. In 2022, I ain't chasing no birds. I don't have time to chase birds. I got to sow seed, right? I keep sowing seed because the birds are coming and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. So I don't need to worry about that anymore. Next verse. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Next. And when the sun was up and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So I'm sowing my seed. Sow, Pastor, sow that seed, right? It falls on stony ground, stony hearts of people that what? Spring up. Oh, we love the word. Oh, yeah, we love JCILM. We love you too, pal. Ooh, it's a great word. And then they fall away. I haven't seen them. Where are they? What's going on? What did I do? You didn't do anything. That's what happened to the seed because the ground was stony and there's nothing you can do about it, Pastor. Keep sowing. Why? Because it ain't got nothing to do with you. See, I can say that now because the word says that. This ain't got nothing to do with me. The word is the seed. Sow it, Pastor, sow it. So then what happens next? And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Go ahead. But other fell on good ground. So now let's back up. So the ones that got choked, we throw it out. In another place, Jesus talks about what chokes them out. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, all of that stuff. So I'm sowing. See, it ain't my seed. Remember what we said? What you sow, look at what you sow. What are you sowing? So you sow the seed. It's the word of God, but it also goes into the thorns. And guess what happens? The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches come up and choke it out. Choke out the seed. Sad. Should Pastor quit? No, Pastor, keep sowing. So Pastor's sowing, and he's sowing. And what happens next? And some of the seed on good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. All right. So it's just like when I teach my classes at Southern. And the question might come up, why do some students get C's? Why do some students get B's? Why do other students get A's? I don't know. Maybe it's because some are smarter. Maybe not. Maybe some study more. Maybe some apply more. But we know it's not the seed because the seed went out and the seed is the same seed across the way. So why do some people come to Sunday service every Sunday all the time and they're early? Why do they come to prayer all the time? Why are they online all the time? Because they're 100-fold. And then there are those that are some that are like 60. And there's nothing wrong with 60%. I do know that on a test, you fail with 60%, but at least it's something. And then there's the 30. Well, this 30's okay, but on a test, you fail, but it's better than nothing. But one thing I can tell you from all of this stuff I'm seeing is that it ain't got nothing to do with what's being sown. If the word is what's being sown, the word has to take care of its own business. And the Bible already tells me some fall by the wayside, some fall on stony ground, some fall in thorns, and some of it falls on good ground, and some comes forth 160 and 30. Why? I don't know. God didn't tell me all of that, and I don't even have an answer to all that. All I know is you can't corrupt the seed. You see, when I look at what's coming forth in the harvest, if somebody were to ask me, is there something different that you would like to see in our church, let's say, for instance? Well, yeah, sure, I'd like to see more people come. That would be great, but I'm not going to change the word so people can do that. I mean, I'll try to change some environmental things, maybe do some things with the kids, and we'll try to get some things together so that people can come. But if it's the word, I can't change the word if it's the word. So I just got to concentrate on what I'm sowing and make sure that what? If I'm not seeing what I want to see, I'm not reaping the harvest I want to reap, I need to assess what I'm sowing. This has nothing to do with the people. It has to do with what I'm sowing. As long as I'm sowing the word, God tells me what's going to happen with it. Don't be surprised that some falls by the wayside and you talk to somebody and they said they were coming and they never come. That's the wayside. Don't be shocked that, you know, somebody got all excited and told you they was excited about JCILM and joined 2 days after they heard a message. And, oh, they was up in here like every day until finally life got tough and finally all of a sudden the devil beating them up and, oh, Lord, I just can't do church right now because I just don't know if the Lord it will be, oh, wow, wow, wow. Jesus said they're going to be there too. And then you have those who they get the word and look like they're growing, but then they get choked out on all that drama going on out there, the deceitfulness of the riches and all, and God said they're out there too. And then finally you're going to have those that are going to be in the last category. So there's really nothing more I can do. I've reassessed it. I've looked at it. There's nothing else to do. Keep sowing the seed. The only thing I can do is try to change some structural things, try to have a place for the children to go, do some other things. But other than that, sow the seed. The affirmation is the word will work. You can say that. The word will work. And you just have to keep sowing the seed. Because the reality is, there's nothing I can do about it. Now, let's talk about your life. Let's get off of past, and let's talk about yours. So when we get ready to go into the new year tomorrow, we're going to have some testimony time and all, we'll do that. But then people should be doing serious assessment. You know, you shouldn't even go into next year without having next year finished already. Do you want to know what you want to do next year? I ain't trying to beat up on you. I'm trying to help you. Do you know where you want to be next year? If somebody were to ask me personally, I have more money in the bank than I had last year. I weigh less than I did last year. Everything is going to track versus where it was last year. Is that because, ooh, God just showed favorites to pastor? No, it's called affirmation and discipline. Discipline, discipline. Can we get some discipline up in here? We need to do and focus. If you don't do that, I can't help you. So 2022 is going to be about focus, faith, and discipline. That's what we're going to be about. And we're going to make sure that people have set some places to be by the end of the year, within the next couple years, and then let's stick out five and see where you want to go. People say, well, I don't want to think that for a pastor. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow will take thought for itself. Right, but if you take that in context, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. He didn't say don't think about it. He didn't mean just don't think about it at all, walking around like with your head between your legs like you don't know tomorrow's coming. Because what are you going to do when tomorrow shows up? You need to be ready. You need to be planning. You need to have thought it out. That's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, consider the ant. Look at that ant. Wow, he's carrying all that stuff. He's carrying stuff bigger than himself. Why is that ant able to do that? Why is that ant doing that? What is he going on? Why would God tell me to pay attention to ants? Why would he do that? You know, right now you got all these people popping up with COVID, all these long lines, and they put up there, what are you reaping? What are you reaping? What are you reaping? Oh, I got COVID. Really? I wonder where you got that from. Did you just wake up with it? No, you somewhere doing something them people told you not to do. Look, now I know it could happen by what? All kind of ways, but that's why the people keep telling you. Pay attention to what you're doing. Wash your hands. Make sure all the people you come in contact with, make sure you maintain a certain distance or wash your hands, wear your mask. Do the stuff they're telling you. But you're not just going to get COVID out of the air. You know, I'm not in them lines out there. I'm not going out there getting in them lines. I try my best to stay away from people right now. I'm not doing that. I don't go in very crowded places. I try not to do that for a long period. 15 minutes, they say. You don't want to be in anybody's presence that long. You're trying to do that. You got to stay away. If you don't, then you're going to reap what you're sowing. So if you're sowing bad practices, you're going to reap what comes from it. Just saying. I mean, that's how it works. You know, I get to the end of the year and I don't have any money in the bank. Well, now, come on now. Go and look at what happened. You spent that money. Now, I'm not talking about people who just had some real terrible tragedy happen. We're not going to talk about them. We're talking about the regular everyday people who bought stuff that you know you can't afford, bought something else that you couldn't afford, bought one more thing you couldn't afford, and then you got to the end, you didn't have any money. That's how it works. Now, surprise? I mean, no. We got to build discipline into our affirmations. God is there to help us, but we got to stop trying to make God into some kind of like genie in the sky. You know, we do what we want, and then we just blink and or call on him when we're ready for him to do what we want him to do. And that is not how faith works. This is why Jesus said, let me see if I can get over here. I'm going to give this to you. In Mark 11, these famous scriptures that Jesus quotes in Mark 11, 23. And we're going to look at it, Mark 11, 23. This is what Jesus said. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatso things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now, I want you to think about this though. This is what people fail to understand when they get in church. Somehow they want to believe that Jesus is giving them a genie verse here. All you got to do is believe and say it, and then you're going to receive it. And whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe, you receive it, and you're going to get it. Now, let me talk about that. There's a difference between wishing you had something and the word desire. The desire indicates a deeper longing for a thing, okay? Typically, when people long for a thing and have a desire and it's reached the level of desire, they begin to do things to bring that about, okay? Yeah, you know, you really, really want that piece of cake. The more you think about it, the more you desire it, the more you begin to do stuff to bring about eating that cake. If you don't have any at home, you're going to go get you one. If you see one on the counter, you're going to move toward it and go cut it. But other than just that, yeah, I think, I don't know, I might get a piece later. It has arisen to a desire. You're not going to move or do anything to try to get there. It's not going to happen. But when you are praying and you are believing God for something to the point, put that scripture back up there. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, think about that. You desire when you pray, but when you're desiring, you also get up and you go about taking action. This is why the Bible says faith without works is dead. I'm going to get out of debt, God, you say. I believe that I'm going to be debt-free. But your desire to be debt-free does not override your desire to spend your money. So you spend while you claim to desire to be debt-free, and you stay in debt because your real desire is for all the things and stuff and all that you buying, and it overrides this want to you have to get out of debt. You don't really desire to get out of debt. You want to get out, but you don't really desire to get out, right? This is kind of like being in a swimming pool in the shallow end. You know, you don't mind. You'll be all right. You're going to get out. But if you were in the deep end and you were drowning, then you have a desire to get out. Why? Because you're drowning, and you see that if you keep going like that, you're going to die. So what do? You start frailing and trying to get out. That's what this is talking about. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And if you believe by faith, you're going to get up and go start doing something. Faith without works is dead. So you see, you're never going to accomplish anything if you don't do it. You know, that's why I kept saying Sunday. I don't use myself as an example because I'm trying to brag. I use myself as an example because I'm trying to get y'all to understand. Now, I didn't come from, my family did okay. They were all right. But seeing that they didn't give me anything when I left home, then I don't see how you can compare me to anybody else that's on the streets. They ain't got nothing. Well, I didn't have nothing either. Well, you had parents. Well, I'm sure they got parents. Yeah, but what? The bottom line is I started with nothing. I left and I had to go do whatever. Got a little education, but I had to make decisions. I had to make choices, and I had to make decisions to decide what I was going to do about things. I'm 20 years old. I can play around like all the other 20-year-olds are doing, but no, I got to handle my business right now. I got stuff to do, and I've been doing that the whole time. And every time things get a little off, I got to push back and get back to doing my business according to the word of God. Consider the ant. I didn't get here today at this age where I'm debt-free and this and that and the other, and I don't say these things to brag. I keep trying to say this. I just know where I came from, so that's all I can offer you. You know, I don't know what you're listening to out there, but all I can offer you is what didn't happen with me and with the word of God. And so I wasn't able to build up all the things that I've built up and everything that's happened and all the stuff I've been doing in order by walking around talking about it. It's going to be all right. It's going to work. God is going to take care of things. God is going to do this. God is going to do that. You can say that all you want. It ain't going to change until you do something about whatever the problem is by faith. Have faith in God and then move in the direction of what you desire. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. Faith without works. Let me get over here to James, and I'm going to show this to you so you know I'm not just making this up. You got to get involved in this. All right. This is why it says here in James chapter 1, it says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And then there's another place over here where the Bible tells us, let me get over here, and this is in James chapter 2, where it says, verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So if you don't have faith, if you don't have any works, it's dead. You see, now, I read something this weekend, and it really is starting to impact me a lot. The guy said, and you know, I thought about what he said. He said, the only way you should really be able to talk about people going to hell is almost you would have to be holding back very strong emotions about it. And that you can't make up. You're going to have to pray yourself there. You're going to have to get to a place where it really does matter to you like that. Because if it really is true that, let's say, I have a friend, and let's say they really are my friend, I like them, they're a nice person, they're my friend, but that if they died today, I knew for a fact that they would go to hell, and that hell is eternal, and that their soul is lost forever, you would think that would bring me to tears. If you knew your mama or your daddy, or your cousin, or your brother, or somebody you know that close, that you were sure that if they died, they were going to go to hell, how can you not be praying about that? How can that not affect you to the point, you know, people are always affected by these things that happen in the natural. There was a man that lives across the street. He was shot the other day. People say, oh, that's sad. Oh, that's sad. That's so sad. And yeah, it is sad. But it's more sad if he died and didn't make it. That's more sad. And there are all these people in the world like that possibly, right? We claim that this is the case and that's what we care about. You would think we would really be on our face all the time praying that God would send his angels or something to save these people's souls so that they don't die in everlasting torment. That's all I can say tonight with that. I don't have anything else even to say. I'm going to say this, though. Don't forget, Happy New Year's coming up. Happy New Year to you. Tomorrow we're going to be in church at, I think I said 10:30. We'll get over here somewhere about that time. We're going to spend a little time doing a little testimony. You know, if you want to, come on down. You know, we'll let you have the mic. We're going to wipe it down. Get you have the mic. We'll get in and say a few words, you know, about what happened. And we'll pray in the new year. And then we're all going to go on home and get ready for the year to come in. But I want you to think about what I said tonight. Don't let the year creep up on you and you don't have a plan for where you expect to be at the end of it next year. And I'm not talking about resolutions. I'm talking about determination so that you can get where you need to go. So look, I want to take this opportunity again. Thank you all for joining us tonight, and we'll look forward to seeing you in church tomorrow night and moving into the new year. Look, God bless you all. You all have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and we will see you all in church tomorrow night, and if not, Sunday at 10. God bless you.